Please begin by reciting the verses about the 12 kinds of complete purity that we find an example for on the top of page 2. It's the same structure as before, except now we say completely pure instead of perfectly pure, and we run through with the 12 ways of saying self that you find on page 3, connecting them with, on the list on page 4, the 12 dependent links of existence, which start with number 42, the bottom of column 1.
Dene da pumbo ngale te yamayin tate yamayin besena da yang tabar ton tambara da madrupavu.
The self is not the same as the five aggregates, nor is it different from the five aggregates. Therefore, the self does not truly exist.
Tunse chepe kapso da madrup naya da meba te da yeba la tu kubesena da yumi jitruba tamche le deba chepar zuju.
That is the conclusion of the level of slight analysis. However, since it is the case that the self's non-existence exists only in dependence upon the self's existence, then both existence and non-existence are just dependently existent, and therefore the true nature of the self is beyond the fabrications of both.
Gombozo drupje tsawa khirable da yu chi chang ta jo chen dami chi chang ten bar jo sanje nam je da da ne dami ga mi chi chang ten hi song ba yin do je ba nga za da len de je ten thoma da yu bar ten la da la jik so la ta wa do pe che do chung se che pe ka su da me bar song chen ne lung tha thuk la ka za wang bo rab la.
As the protector Nagarjuna taught in the fundamental wisdom of the middle way, first the Buddha imputed the existence of a self, then he taught selflessness, and finally, to those of superior faculties, the Buddha refuted both self and selflessness. And this verse describes the three stages of the Buddha's teachings. The purpose of the first being to describe a support for past and future lives, for the law of karmic cause and result, in order to help people who had a tendency towards nihilism. Then the Buddha taught about the self as if it exists. Then, in order to help his students overcome their view that the transitory collection of the aggregates is a truly existent self, the Buddha taught selflessness. And finally, in order to help them abandon clinging to all conceptual fabrications whatsoever, he taught that the true nature of reality is beyond self and selflessness both.
Tisena Nelung Tato, Hindu Tepe Capso, Dayumi Jutuba Tamjili and Devisena Dagaran Yin Yonso Takbao.
Therefore, since we discover at the stage of thorough analysis that the true nature of the self is beyond all fabrication of what it might be, then we can say that the self by nature is completely pure.
Dagan
And since the self is by nature completely pure, then all of these different ways of saying self are also completely pure. And these 12 are the self and the sentient being, the life force energy and the caregiver, the person and the individual, the strong one and the leader, the doer or the creator and the experiencer, and the knower and the seer.
Dagi da number dana dagi namdang tamje number tabe chap dagi namdang tamje number dana da number tabe chapao.
The self is completely pure, and therefore all the different ways of saying self are also definitely completely pure. All the different ways of saying self are definitely completely pure, and therefore the self is definitely completely pure.
Tene dage yila yomba da yila un da namba dala dage nandoge yordo yido momba namba madaba tetabo meseso.
Di rangla jargiduge?
Yeah.
It is not the case that the self, when you feel good about yourself, is completely pure, but the self, when you feel bad about yourself, is not completely pure. It is not like that.
Dina daga namdang juni de tende juni la jati lulambar chishi.
So now take these 12 ways of saying self and recite the verses about their complete purity in connection with the verses describing the complete purity of the 12 dependent links of existence.
Da yonzo dabe, mare ba yonzo dabe, mare ba yonzo dabe, da yonzo dabe, te, te da na, da yonzo dabe, mare ba yonzo dabe, dilla, niso mite, niso zon, so zo mai,
the self is completely pure, and therefore ignorance is completely pure. Ignorance is completely pure, and therefore the self is completely pure. And thus the self completely pure, and ignorance completely pure, are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate, and are not different. The sentient being is completely pure, and therefore karmic actions are completely pure. Karmic actions are completely pure, and therefore the sentient being is completely pure. And thus, the sentient being completely pure, and karmic actions completely pure, are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate, and are not different. Life force energy is completely pure, and therefore consciousness is completely pure. Consciousness is completely pure, and therefore life force energy is completely pure. And thus, life force energy completely pure, and consciousness completely pure, are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate, and are not different. The caregiver is completely pure, and therefore name and form are completely pure. Name and form are completely pure, and therefore the caregiver is completely pure. And thus, The caregiver completely pure, and name and form completely pure. Are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate and are not different. The person is completely pure, and therefore the six sources of consciousness are completely pure. The six sources of consciousness are completely pure, and therefore the person is completely pure. And thus, the person completely pure, and the six sources of consciousness completely pure, are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate and are not different. The individual is completely pure, and therefore contact is completely pure. Contact is completely pure, and therefore the individual is completely pure. And thus, the individual completely pure, and contact completely pure, are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate and are not different. The strong one is completely pure, and therefore feeling is completely pure. Feeling is completely pure, and therefore the strong one is completely pure. And thus, the strong one completely pure, and feeling completely pure, are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate, and are not different. Yeah. The leader is completely pure, and therefore craving is completely pure. Craving is completely pure, and therefore the leader is completely pure. And thus, the leader completely pure, and craving completely pure, are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate and are not different. The doer is completely pure, and therefore grasping is completely pure. Grasping is completely pure, and therefore the doer is completely pure. And thus, the doer completely pure, and grasping completely pure, are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate and are not different. The experiencer is completely pure, and therefore existence is completely pure. Existence is completely pure, and therefore the experiencer is completely pure. And thus, the experiencer completely pure, and existence completely pure, are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate and are not different. The knower is completely pure, and therefore birth is completely pure.
Birth is
completely pure, and therefore the knower is completely pure. And thus, the knower completely pure, and birth completely pure, are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate and are not different. The seer is completely pure, and therefore aging and death are completely pure. Aging and death are completely pure, and therefore the seer is completely pure. And thus, the seer completely pure, and aging and death completely pure, are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate and are not different.
Dini daga namdang chunyi yonzo takpa teyang. Ne loga, he logam. Dini tartok ne log,
Yonzo taba re ma do kunzo je nanzo de taba hege mare. Kunzo je nanzo de tama da tene namdo la ra le pa namdo la tubare.
When the 12 ways of saying self are described as being completely pure, then we need to understand that this is talking about the perspective of their true nature, their abiding reality, the way they actually are. It's not talking about what appears in relative reality. What appears in relative reality is pure and also impure, appears too. And these designations of pure and impure in relative reality come from concepts. Concepts project their existence.
Tene kheda nambar taba la che na tene ki kheda yo mare semjin ki kheda yang rowa mala rowa mai ki kheda yo mare ki kheda ma dobe se na tene se da ki kheda yang ma dobe re se da ki kheda yang ma dobe se na tene kheda ge ne lok tuba len de bare yemi tuba len de bare tuta je ngo nambar taba che bare.
For example, if we look at the leader, there is no general category of leader that you can find existing anywhere. Leader as a general category is just an abstract image because there is no one leader of all sentient beings. So when you say the word leader, that's a category, but it's just an abstraction that can't be found anywhere. And since the category itself doesn't actually exist, then how could the specific instances of leaders actually exist? They can't, because there's no category that they belong to. And therefore, the leader is by nature, since the leader cannot be found through analysis, the leader's true nature is beyond the conceptual fabrications of existence and non-existence both. It's beyond all idea of what it might be, and therefore the leader's true nature is complete purity. The reason why there is no general leader, why the leader as an overarching category can't actually exist, is that if you take any particular leader, there might be hundreds of millions of people who consider that person to be good and like them to be their leader, but hundreds of millions others don't. And many might consider that leader to be pure, and many others impure. And therefore, you can't really say if this is the leader or not. You can't really say with definitiveness that this leader is pure or not. So the leader's actual nature is beyond conceptual fabrication, and from the perspective of genuine reality, then completely pure. How many leaders are there? We can't really say. Actually, there are limitless leaders. Some leaders are more famous than others, but that doesn't exclude the other ones from being leaders, and so there are actually numberless, countless leaders. There is then no general category of leader, and so there can actually be no specific instances of leader. Therefore, the leader's true nature is beyond conceptual fabrication, and what is beyond conceptual fabrication is free of stain. There can be no stain in that which is beyond concept, And that is why the Buddha taught that the leader's true nature is perfect purity.
Awesome.
And if you look at all the different ways that thoughts can project things onto the leader, can assert things about a leader one way or another, then you'll understand this point well. One year the leader is good, the next year the leader is bad. Or one year the leader might be bad, and the next year the leader might be good. This shows that the leader's true nature, this is proof, the leader has no inherent nature. It's like that. Another important one to look at is the next on the list in connection with it being the creator. The biggest creator is the creator of the universe and all the beings who inhabit it. But there are not just one or two of these kinds of creators. There are limitless types of these big creators who could be posited. From the Buddhist perspective, there are also different views. From the perspective of the common explanation, which is forwarded mostly by the Shravakas, the Shravakayana, it is that there is no creator. And that's because the creator of the universe and of sentient beings is karma. So one's own individual karma is what creates the universe and the sentient and oneself as a sentient being. And so there's no other creator apart from that. But then in the Mahayana, there's the explanation that the creator is the glorious Vairochana. And in Dzogchen, there's the explanation that the creator is Samantabhadra. According to the mind-only school, the creator is mind, mind alone. And the mind-only school refers to many quotations from the Buddha's teachings and also logical reasonings to prove that the mind alone is the creator. Nevertheless, these are all just relative explanations that arise due to the coming together of causes and conditions, and therefore they are dependently arisen mere appearances. In genuine reality, the first step is to see that none of these creators actually exist. The second is to see that their nature is equally beyond conceptual fabrication, and therefore all creators are equally completely pure. And that is the Mahayana's, the second turning of the wheel of Dharma's ultimate explanation. The second turning of the wheel's ultimate explanation is that the creator is perfectly pure. And It's impossible to prove with logic that some creators are pure and others are not. But it is possible to prove, and the Buddha taught, that all creators are equally completely pure.
Tene sepa po kelemba tu, rangi sepa po de yonzo taba la gawa, yinje sepa po mada bala gagure, tenda wo de namdo kata sore, tenda wo sigamare.
Those of the different traditions who assert a creator would like to believe that their own creator is completely pure and the other ones are not. But that is impossible to prove with logic. That is just a conceptual projection of purity onto some one creator and impurity onto others. It can't be like that.
Young Seba Bo, Kelemba, Tamje, Jeranang, Seba Bo, K, Tabayinate, Ayang, Tamje Tabare. Seba Bo, Seda, Tamje, Ranga, Deba, Tabayinate, Kanga Tabare. Rava?
No. And since it's the case that every tradition believes its own creator is completely pure, then they're all completely pure. If it were otherwise, then we'd have to look at the views of what everybody else thinks about everybody else's creator, and then all the creators would be completely impure. Actually, when you investigate each creator from the perspective of their genuine nature, it's beyond conceptual fabrication. And that's why we can say that since what is beyond conceptual fabrication is free of stain, then all creators are completely pure. The reason why it's important, especially in this 21st century, to know that creators are of the nature of complete purity is, first of all, that people who believe in different creators can all meet together in one place at the same time. In the past, hundreds and thousands of years ago, then for the most part, people who asserted different creators lived in their own little isolated places, and they didn't have contact with other people, and nobody was criticizing their view. So then it was fine. They just believed in their own creator, and they didn't know about other ones. Animals don't run around wondering who is my creator. That's a question that people ask. Because people have the intelligence and they want to know, who made me? How did I get here? And then they come up with different ideas of how it happened. So it's like that.
Ta se pa po yon da de sai kam, chui kam, mei kam, longa kam, namka kam, nam shi je kam, trogla jana ya bore.
It would now be good then to recite some verses about the Creator's complete purity, this time in connection with the verses about the complete purity of the six elements, and these start on with number
36. Teda na ze babo yozo dabad. Saye gan yozo dabandel. Nizo mid, nizo zarmi. Sozo mai tamede do. Bye.
Danda kanga denante.
A kanga nimbudo. Dan koza koise.
Hako gido.
Yeah.
The Creator is completely pure, and therefore the element of earth is completely pure. The element of earth is completely pure, and therefore the Creator is completely pure. And thus, the Creator completely pure, and the element of earth completely pure. Are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate and are not different. The Creator is completely pure, and therefore the element of water is completely pure. The element of water is completely pure, and therefore the Creator is completely pure. And thus, the Creator completely pure, and the element of water completely pure. Are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate and are not different. The Creator is completely pure, and therefore the element of fire is completely pure. The element of fire is completely pure, and therefore the Creator is completely pure. And thus, the Creator completely pure, and the element of fire completely pure. Are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate and are not different. The Creator is completely pure, and therefore the element of wind is completely pure. The element of wind is completely pure, and therefore the Creator is completely pure. And thus, the Creator completely pure, and the element of wind completely pure. Are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate and are not different. The Creator is completely pure, and therefore the element of space is completely pure. The element of space is completely pure, and therefore the Creator is completely pure. And thus, the Creator completely pure, and the element of space completely pure. Are not dual, cannot be made dual,
are not separate,
and are not different. The Creator is completely pure, and therefore the element of consciousness is completely pure. The element of consciousness is completely pure, and therefore the Creator is completely pure. And thus, the Creator completely pure, and the element of consciousness completely pure. Are not dual, cannot be made dual, are not separate, and are not different.
Tene sepa po serapa, tenek sepa po, me sepa po, truce natu sepa po, rigne natu sepa po, kala ya po sepa po, machin la soba, sepa po natu ba yere, te tamje tene, te tamje je ne lung number taba. Tigware.
There are scientific creators, creators of medicine, creators of technology, creators in the arts, creators of good food. All of these creators are by nature completely pure.
Tene tena yin, hyakyu sepa po, tengsang memba hyakyu sepa po yore, hyakyu sepa po, kakhe ke hyakyu se ne, ya po ta nukre, kakhe ke nukre, teso jin la ra le re, ina yon, tenda vichha ni ma re, Shalchu je lega ya to so namdo lo te pare tenda wo mare.
One could also say that surgeons are creators. Surgeons create operations. And some of these operations go well and the people live and get better, and other ones go poorly and the people die. And from that perspective, one might think that some surgeons are pure and other ones not. But those are just conceptual projections. Here we're not talking about that. We're talking about the surgeon's basic nature, which is complete purity. The idea that a surgeon is good or bad, pure or impure, is just that. It's just a conceptual projection. It doesn't exist from the perspective of the surgeon's genuine nature. It's the same with medicine. Some medicines might turn out to be good and other medicines might turn out to be harmful. But these, like operations going good or bad, all of that just depends on conditions. It's not existent in the inherent nature. The true nature of creators of medicine is also completely pure. Therefore, all creators are completely pure. And since all creators are completely pure, it's also the case that all phenomena, from form through omniscience, are also completely pure. Now here we just recited the verses about the Creator's complete purity in connection with the six elements. But the sutra itself of Prajnaparamita goes through the whole list. It's called the list of 108, and it goes from forms all the way through omniscience. And for each one of the 12 ways of saying self, then, there is a section that has all of the verses with all of these phenomena. And that's how we should recite it, too. We should recite it in the complete way, like it is presented in the sutra. The fact is that the Buddha gave these teachings on complete purity, the 12 kinds of complete purity and the 3 kinds of perfect purity, thousands of years ago. So they've always been there, but up until now, when the view of the middle turning of the wheel is described, it is said to be the freedom from conceptual fabrications. Now I think, though, it's the time to bring out more these teachings on complete purity and perfect purity in this day and age, because there's so many examples of complete purity and perfect purity. When you know complete purity well and perfect purity well, then thoughts of attachment and aversion will dissolve in their own place.
Chu jebar sheba la, dorten dan jehi nile, tangbun dorten ne, namba trug chu dala, jokwa lana meba de, Senyi dang na droba dang, jikda tate ma yin shing, ne ne tumong tumong me, zong dan zembar nama ne, me la rabdo jubi so, shichong de.
In distinguishing phenomena and pure being, we have reached the expanded explanation on page 85. And this has two parts, the expanded explanation of phenomena and that of pure being. The expanded explanation of phenomena has a presentation of the headings that make up the topics of its of the explanation, and then an explanation of each one. The presentation of the headings has root verse that reads, because it provides a thorough introduction to their characteristics as well as their rationale, they're neither being the same nor different, the ground in common and not in common shared, and the lack of appearance involving perceiver perceived, this six-point approach to phenomena is the best. So to understand phenomena, we do so in the best way by looking at these six different points. And the first three of them were presented in the brief presentation. The last three start to look at samsara from the perspective of how we normally believe it to be, which is truly existent, have because outer appearances seem to have this universal quality of everybody perceiving them. We think that there are these objective objects out there that exist objectively, but what we find out through the course of this presentation is that's actually not how it is. There are no common appearances, actually. All appearances are just the projections of one's own mind. And therefore, and the last section is the lack of appearance involving perceiver perceived. So by the end of the investigation of the phenomena that make up samsara, we've gotten to pure being, which is the transcendence of duality as its actual nature. That's where we're going. The commentary is by Mipham Rinpoche, and the translator will, you can... And so you can read that on your own later, when you have time to go through it carefully. Now the translator will explain some parts, whatever parts of the root verses need to be explained that aren't immediately clear.
Tene kejur ke dekhe jaye te yinji tene ha koba kande do mogo ba kande do ha kogre mogo ba thola dekhe jamna tene lela bor.
Because the translator knows English, then the translator can see in the English what might need more explanation and what can be left to stand on its own.
Yeah.
Danda, de diksola.
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 Namba droge juda la joba lana meba tenye dane droba juda dade mai nene dumo dumo zondan zembaro nawan mila rabdo jube soya.
So let's recite together. Because it provides a thorough introduction to their characteristics, as well as their rationale, they're neither being the same nor different, the ground in common, not in common shared, and the lack of appearance involving perceiver perceived, this 6 point. Approach to phenomena is the best.
Nyeba domje ton sozor sheba la. Tambo som mwema tin simbare, tin simbar temba da. Sama som kam der sheba nile. Tambo ni, telan tsenye droba da, chikta tate ma yemba, chetan dote yendo wo kisungte.
Then comes the explanation of each of the headings. First, a passing reference to the first 3 points. because the first three points have already been explained, and that's what the root verse says. Of these, the defining traits and the rationale, as well as the lack of sameness and difference, are just as these were demonstrated in brief. Because if you looked at the rest of the presentation, you'd find that there were only three points that were explained, the latter three, but then you might wonder, well, the first three got lost somewhere. Well, they didn't get lost because they were already explained. So we're halfway done. That's good.
Did good.
Of these, the defining traits and the rationale, as well as the lack of sameness and difference, are just as these were demonstrated in brief.
Nibala, ne tangbo ni kebadang. Zungze me beton and joba kebanile. Tangbula. Tumundon dortin. Soso jeber kebanile. Tangbo ne tangbo ni tumundon dortin. Kaye kangdon guruana.
Of the two types of ground. So these are common appearances and uncommon or unique appearances. And then how to approach the reality free of perceived and perceiver. The explanation of the two types of ground has two parts, a brief presentation of both in common, the shared appearances and the unique appearances, and then an expanded explanation of the meaning of each. The brief presentation of both of these, common and uncommon, appearances in common, has root verse that reads, as long as there is someone circling somewhere, there are the grounds in each and every case. The constituents of beings and those of the vessel. The constituents of the vessel appear to be shared, the awareness being the common experience. Some of the constituents of beings are experienced in common, and some are not. So when we talk about what appears in samsara in terms of dualistic phenomena, then we're talking about the outer world and the sentient beings who inhabit it. And those are the two basic categories of appearances. And with regard to the outer world, then it seems from our perspective, which is the perspective of not analyzing, it seems to ordinary beings that the outer world is common appearance, that everybody perceives the trees and the mountains and everything in the same way. And with regard to sentient beings, then some of the experiences of sentient beings are common, like the way that people appear, we think, appears to everybody in the same way. We think that that's an objective appearance. And then there are other experiences which even we know from the unexamined perspective are the unique experiences of every sentient being. But if we look, even in this overview presentation, we get a key to what's coming because it says the constituents in the middle two lines, the fourth line and the fifth line, the constituents of the vessel appear to be shared, the awareness being the common experience. So how do we know that objects exist in common outside? How do we even think that? Because of our awareness. Right? That's what seems to verify the existence of these things. If there was no consciousness of them, then they wouldn't have any existence or non-existence at all. So it is the awareness of different sentient beings of these objects that we compare and then seem to have some agreement, and then we think that this object exists some outside somehow. So the key is in the mind. And this is going to be amplified and discussed more in detail as to why, since it's the mind that is making these judgments, then in fact the outer object doesn't really exist outside at all, but is rather just a mental projection. But right from the start, we can see that the mind is essential if there's going to be any idea of a common outer object at all to begin with. Now we're going to practice recitation meditation. If you listen too long, then that makes you tired. If you have to explain too much, that makes you tired too. So the solution is we'll do some recitation meditation together. I'm now going to recite in Tibetan, and while I do, you should meditate by focusing on the sound and emptiness of the words, and you can also rest your minds in the clarity emptiness that is the true nature of the perception.
Constituents of beings and those of the vessel, the constituents of the vessel appear to be shared. The awareness being the common experience. Some of the constituents of beings are experienced in common, and some are not.
Next, we get an expanded explanation of the meaning of each experience comprising a common ground and experience not shared in common.
And the root verse for experience comprising a common ground reads, further, birth and conventions to nurture, subdue, benefit, harm, excellent features and faults are mutually caused by way of an interchange, because of which these are experience shared in common. Let's look at the commentary here. If one asks for a further classification specifying which phenomena comprising the constituent features of sentient beings are experienced in common, included would be birth from a womb, the conventions of body and speech conveying symbolic expression, the case of one party nurturing or subduing another, the case of providing benefit or producing harm, the development of excellent qualities, such as those associated with listening and so on, which come about in conjunction with reliance on another, as do the occurrence of such faults as attachment and so on. These forms of consciousness are called appearances whose experience is shared in common, because their occurrence in each instance is mutually caused by way of an intermediate condition enabling an exchange between sentient beings. So you have all of these different appearances of people being born of speech and symbolic expression with your body, of some people taking care of others or harming others, and all of these seem to appear to thousands of people. They can appear clearly, and so it seems like they actually exist outside as common appearances. But what the commentary is saying right here is that these forms of consciousness. So these are just one's own consciousness appearing as outer objects. And it seems as though they are shared in common. And they are caused by this intermediate condition, or an, you could say an empowering condition, of the appearance of other sentient beings having interaction. Then you can have the appearance of common appearances.
Tilo cheva tumundo churdurne rang leje jose pama nije saule linji seji sebe jo tumuati devo nani cheve lundobata vo.
Specifically, the way in which birth is a case of collective experience is in the sense that the cause deriving from the karmic actions of the one to be born combines with the simultaneously active conditions in the form of the seed and egg of the parents to produce a common cause through which the result, a body born from a womb, is produced. So how is it a common appearance of birth? Because different sentient beings, the father and the mother, are experiencing it, and the baby is experiencing it. So it seems to be common to those three individuals at least. Conventions are shared in common in the sense that one follows specific social customs, engages in conversation and so on, animated by the symbolic expressions associated with the bodies and speech of others. So with language, with conventional expressions that appear to be common expressions, again, that requires a whole bunch of sentient beings to be involved, to participate. Then you can come up with common expressions and language. Like when many people listen to the speech of one, or many people are listening to one person explain their view, then it requires all of these people to come together to have the appearance of there being some common object out there. These and similar cases of exchanges where one party, for example, nurtures another with the Dharma or with material goods. So that could be something that involves lots of people on a grand scale, appearing to lots of people, or subdues another in various ways, ranging from verbal contests like debates seen by lots of people to engaging in combat, the combat of nations, provides for another's benefit by protecting them from frightening circumstances, and so on, produces harm through various forms of physical violence, gives rise to positive qualities through such means as listening to teachings, induces faults in another through encouraging attachment and the like, or through teaching wrong views and so on. These are all cases that are called common from the perspective of there being a specific common result produced through the combination of the primary cause deriving from the phenomena of one mind stream and the intermediate condition deriving from those of another. So this right here is important to begin with because it's identifying that the primary cause of having a common appearance is your own mind, right? One's own mind, one's own habitual tendencies to perceive an object in a certain way. That's the explanation of the mind-only school. It's not that the object's characteristics exist inherently in itself, but the primary cause is one's own habitual tendencies in one's own mind, just like in a dream. It is valid to state that in a conventional sense, such results are produced through the combination of such causes and conditions. In actual fact, however, the term intermediate condition indicates that outer reference perceived in common do not verifiably exist. This is because there are no outer reference existing extrinsic to image awareness, which could serve as the focal condition, and because the appearances seemingly experienced in common as the outer vessel and so on are nothing other than the perceived aspect of the inner awareness. So this is using some technical terms here. Focal condition refers to the condition for consciousness to arise. You need an outer object. But the mind-only school explains that there really is no outer object that actually exists. So a focal condition is just a conventional expression. There is no focal condition in genuine reality. What there is an intermediate condition not existing outside, but rather the habitual tendencies that are arising in your own mind stream. So that's why it says, in actual fact, the term intermediate condition indicates that outer reference perceived in common do not verifiably exist. If they believed that outer reference did actually exist, they would use the term focal condition, right? But they don't. It's just an empowering condition for certain habitual tendencies to arise and therefore project certain appearances at any one particular time. But it's all happening within the mind, just like when you dream. That's the explanation of the mind-only school.
Sagunda, sagundela, temo tumungdo yoba tado nana yang, tumungga temo mite, rang kando nebate, tingdo kelang king, tingdo kelang mesena, o mebese.
For example, tumungga
o mebese, tumungga tingyang mebese.
For example, it seems like on this planet there is a top and a bottom, and that these appear in common to everybody. But that's not the case, because wherever you are on the planet, you think you're on the top. So everybody's on the top. If everybody's on the top, then there is no bottom. But if there's no bottom, there can't be any top either. So these common appearances of top and bottom don't really exist. If everybody were on the top, how could there be a bottom? But if there's no bottom, there can't be any top either. So there is no top or bottom. That shows that all of these phenomena are just names. They're just conceptual projections. As the Buddha himself taught in the King of Samadhi Sutra, in all of the rivers in this world, all of the water in the rivers flows down, and all of the water in the rivers flows up. No, all phenomena are just like that. If it were the case that all of the rivers were flowing down, then all of the water would collect in the bottom of the planet, the top part would be totally dry, and all the bottom part would be overflowing with water. But it's not like that, because the world is round. So that the Buddha taught this, that the water is flowing up and down at the same time, is actually how it is, which is proof that the world is round, and in fact there is no top and bottom. And it's the same with time. When you look at time, then we think that daytime is a common appearance and nighttime is a common appearance, but they're not. Because to some people it appears to be day and to other people it appears to be night. So where's the commonality? There is no common time. Because even in one country, America, there are five different time zones. So how could there be a common time if even one country people don't agree what time it is? Therefore, the common appearance of time doesn't actually exist. These days, you can call somebody in another country and your daytime mouth is talking to their nighttime ear. That shows that there is no such thing as common time. You can ask the person who you're talking to, what time is it there? And they say, it's nighttime. And you can say, no, it's daytime. When a daytime mouth can talk to a nighttime ear, if that's not equality, then what is? It's like that. That's one reason why you can say that the 21st century is the age of equality.
Danda kabayengo.
Danda. Not so. Dungonate.
Karendonta ya karendonta.
Let's recite these lines of root verse then on page 91. Further birth and conventions to nurture subdue, benefit, harm, excellent features and faults are mutually caused by way of an interchange, because of which these are experience shared in common.
Ta tumu mayin ba ke ba ne ne ta number rek ba ta te dok le ta chen bo ta che wa ta ne ching ba chen wa ta pro wa tumu mayin se te ne tumu mayin ba wo.
Then experience not shared in common. Since the ground and awareness, happiness, suffering, action, transition at death, captivity, birth, and liberation are not observed in common, they comprise the realm of experience not shared in common.
Yejinamki, Numumba Jinji, the Top Dundam, Sosu Kansa, Sosu, Sosu Deva, the Donga Nyuata, Sembele, Semdikoni, Le Sabata, Chembuata, Sosu Sipar Cheva Lambatane, Kovala Lenunji Jinwata, Kovale Trovaname, Rangi Juju Chu, Tumumumba Yimba Tiser, Sosu Juju Nyonjur, Tumi Teda.
Since the ground, the all-inclusive base consciousness, the principles of awareness, i.e. the sevenfold collection, so these are the other seven consciousnesses besides the base consciousness, which are the eye sense consciousness, the ear, nose, tongue, and body sense consciousnesses, the mental consciousness, and what's called the afflicted consciousness, the seventh consciousness, personal experience of happiness and suffering, mentally committed karmic actions, transition at death, taking rebirth in a specific form of conditioned existence, the captivity or bondage experienced in the samsaric cycle, and liberation from that cycle are all phenomena of an individual mind stream which are not observed in common. And since these are the private experiences belonging to an individual mind stream and cannot be rendered directly accessible to common experience on the part of other sentient beings, they comprise the realm of experience designated not shared in common with others. Since the ground and awareness, happiness, suffering, action, transition at death, captivity, birth, and liberation are not observed in common, they comprise the realm of experience not shared in common.
Trungpa, sirur zungwa mepa namba rikpa sanje trumta tenpa tang. Tele zungze mepe tongla jyotsur nile. Tangbu la zemba le tatebe zungwa yor mepa tenpa tang. Tele mangi pe tsepa bamba nile tangbu ne. Sirur zungwa tumungwar namwa zembe nam rikpa wo. Number Hilly, Sirudo, Chubutu, Maide, Tumumbani, Zero.
Next is the section on how to approach reality, which is free of perceived and perceiver. And first, the tenet stating that there is no outer referent, only image awareness. Second, the resultant procedure for approaching reality, the freedom from perceived and perceiver. The tenet stating that there is no outer referent, only image awareness, has the lack of a perceived object discrete from the perceiver and the elimination of any further uncertainty. In the first of these sections, the lack of a perceived object discrete from the perceiver reads, what appear to be outer, perceivable in common, are perceiving awareness. They are not referents existing as something extrinsic to consciousness, because they are only experienced as common.
The capsu tanda chun jigdin chun korva kichote semsanje log tar du hebare zungze nimi hebare serur serur tanda madro par hebare.
Here the way that samsara, that duality, dualistic phenomena are being explained is from the perspective of the mind-only school. Because the mind-only school explains that outer objects don't exist outside, that they are just projections of the mind.
Zemba yang madrupa sena zungze ni jitong. Zungze ni jitong bi ke ranrak tam kelem pare.
The mind-only school explains that there are no outer objects. Therefore, outer objects are just the confused projections of habitual tendencies. So no outer object exists. And therefore, no inner perceiving subject exists. So therefore, the true nature of reality is non-duality. And the ground of this non-duality is self-awareness, mere non-dual awareness.
Sirazon Nam re ba wo nam ba he le se ro do jo re be de yo ma ye de tu ma wa ne ye se ro
ya.
What appear to be outer perceivable in common are perceiving awareness. They are not reference, existing as something extrinsic to consciousness, because they are only experienced as common.
Nibbani, Chikhu, Tumu, Mahimbe, Zuma, Nambar, Rikbitung, Yenje, Semla, Sobane, Nyambar, Maya, Nyamjabe, Zumba, Nambar, Rikbala, Pinsen, Yurjur, Mahinte, Nyambar, Maya, Talane, Rang, Namdo, Nazerda, Nyambar, Jabba, Talane,
Then the elimination of any further uncertainty. The counterpart is the one in which what is perceived is not shared in common. Here awareness is referent as the minds and so on associated with others. These do not comprise an object of mutual exchange for perceiving awareness not resting nor resting poised. Because for those not resting in equipoise, it is but their own conceptions that appear, and because for those who are resting in equipoise, it is the faithful reflection that appears as the object encountered during samadhi absorption. So this is a sort of a detailed section, and it goes with what came before. It's the final argument that somebody can put who's trying to say that objects do exist outside of the mind. And the way that it is put is to say that to take the phenomenon of clairvoyance, when you know the mind of another. And the argument is that when someone knows the mind of another directly, then if that is just the projection of one's own mind, then there's only one mind, and that's just projecting all the minds of everyone else. But whose mind is it that's doing the projecting? Right, so it just doesn't make sense that way. And so then, so the people who are making this argument say that therefore objects must exist outside because every sentient being's mind is different and it can be perceived directly by someone else who has this power of clairvoyance. So then the text replies to that in this section by saying that, in fact, when someone knows the mind of another through clairvoyance, it's not direct perception. What's happening is that if you are not in meditative equipoise, right, some people can just have insight into the thoughts of others because of past habitual tendencies, because of past karma. They don't have to meditate. If that's the case, then it's just their own concept. I know what the other person is thinking. They might be right, they might be wrong. Okay, but in either event, it's just their own concept. If, on the other hand, the person is in meditation and then gets an image of what the other person is thinking, then that's just a reflection. It's an image, it's called. It's not a direct experience of the other person's mind. It's an image of what's happening in that person's mind that shows up in one's own mind, just like a mirror with a reflection. And so the last argument they make is, well, what about the Buddha? Because the Buddha does know the mind of, the Buddha does know all objects of knowledge directly, not as just a mere reflection, not as a concept, but the Buddha does have direct awareness of all phenomena, meaning even the what's occurring in the minds of sentient beings. And the answer to that is that for the Buddha, which is actually the perspective of wisdom itself, there's no differentiation at all between sentient being and Buddha, between one sentient being and another sentient being. Is beyond all conceptual fabrication. So there is no separation. There's no lack of separation. There is no one. There is no two. There is no lack of one or two. It's beyond all concepts like that. So you can't distinguish that way and make the argument from the try to find a flaw in this from the perspective of the Buddha knowing the mind of a sentient being, because from the Buddha's perspective, there is no Buddha different from a sentient being, and then the Buddha knows the mind. There's just no separation at all. So this eliminates the final uncertainty that one would have in believing that outer objects are anything other than the projections of one's own mind. And if you want to sort of sum up this section in a way that's easy to understand, the way that Rinpoche presents it is to say that two minds don't exist as separate objects. Two minds don't exist as distinct entities from each other in any dualistic way, because no mind of either can actually be found. If you look for your own mind, you can't find it anywhere, inside, outside, or somewhere in between. And it's the same for another sentient being. So the idea of one sentient being's mind and another sentient being's mind in the first place is just a relative projection, just a concept. Because if you can't even find mind in the first place, how can you speak of it as being separate or the same? So minds don't exist separate from each other or in a dualistic way either.
Lekpar Drupsa. Nyam Paramaja Nyam Jabe Nibbana Bharibala Pindra Yorjo Mayinde Nyam Paramaja Talane Rangi Namdo Nazeda Nyabarajaiba talani Tenjindeye jayode Zoyne rabdo nazero.
Yeah.
The counterpart is the one in which what is perceived is not shared in common. Awareness is referent, is the mind's and so unassociated with others. These do not comprise an object of mutual exchange. For perceiving awareness not resting nor resting poised. Because for those not resting in equipoise, it is but their own conceptions that appear. And because for those who are resting in equipoise, it is its faithful reflection that appears as the object encountered during samadhi absorption. So this section has a lot of commentary that's clear, and you should read it carefully, then the meaning will be clear to you. Then the resultant procedure for approaching reality, the freedom from perceived and perceiver. If what appears as perceived does not exist, whatever appears as perceiver does not exist. Due to this, there is also a rationale behind the breakthrough to freedom from this appearance of perceived and perceiver, because without beginning, a volatile state prevails, and because duality's not existing at all is what really exists. Here what's being taught is that since no outer perceived object exists, there is no perceiver either, and therefore the true nature of reality is beyond the duality of perceived and perceiver. It's non-dual. If perceived and perceiver don't truly exist, why do they appear? Because of confused habitual tendencies. They are the confused projections of the mind, just like in a dream. The way that phenomena, the way that samsara is explained in this text is from the perspective of the mind-only school. It's a very nice presentation. Expanded presentation of pure being. Phenomena are explained from the perspective of the mind-only school, pure being from the perspective of the Shentong, the great middle way, Shentong, or empty of other school, and that's why Mipham Rinpoche explains that this comment, this text, brings together the views of the middle way and the mind-only school. Now please sing the song that the Lord of Yogis Milarepa sang that is in harmony with distinguishing phenomena and pure being, the ultimate view, meditation, conduct, and fruition.
Then the same yin to Mayimba, Mayingba, Sabdong, Rectong, and Yadi, Yangsu Jirki.
Without being distracted to anything outside, resting your mind in its nature, clarity, emptiness, sing the song.
Sing a song.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The view is original wisdom which is empty. Meditation clear, light free of fixation. Conduct continual flow without attachment. Fruition is nakedness stripped of every stain. This view, the original wisdom which is empty. Risk getting lost in just being talk and no more. If certainty which is in touch with what's meant does not follow, the words will not manage to free you of clinging to self. And that's why definitive certainty means so much. The meditation clear, light free of fixation. Risk getting lost in just being settling. If original wisdom does not emerge from within you, you might settle steadily, but this will not set you free. But wisdom does not come of dullness and agitation. And that's why non-wandering mindfulness means so much. This conduct continual flow without attachment. Risk getting lost in only being a pretense. If the view and meditation are not included, the eight worldly dharmas may mix with your yogic pursuits. And that's why the freedom from clinging and veils mean so much. Fruition is nakedness stripped of every defect. Risk getting clothed in the garments of attributes. If delusion is not overcome from its source on the inside, your practice may aim very far but fall very short. And that's why correcting delusion means so much.
May it defeat the enemy, wrongdoing from the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death, in the ocean of samsara. May I free all beings by the confidence of the golden sun of the great east. May the lotus garden of the Rigdon's wisdom bloom. May the dark ignorance beings be dispelled. May all beings enjoy profound, brilliant glory.
Ne All these forms, appearance, emptiness, like a rainbow with its shining glow, in the riches of appearance, emptiness, just let go.
The song of yogis and yoginis who are free of attachment and full of love. Yogis and yoginis are empty forms, just like a water moon. To think of them as being truly real will only make your many sufferings increase. To know they're empty forms, just like a water moon. We'll make illusion like samadhi increase, compassion free of duality increase, and on a referential view will also increase, and meditation, that's fixation.